Well, welcome. Good morning. We're glad that you guys have joined us today online. As you can tell from the screen that you're looking at now, it's going to be a little bit different. I've got my partner in crime here, Pastor Ryan. We don't get to see each other nearly as much, so this is helping him with his withdrawals from seeing me as much as he used to during the week. It helps him not cry so much, so it's good. So, you know, Ryan, most of the time when we get together, it's just kind of us speaking the message that week, but I know a lot of people are curious. How are you and your family doing right now with everything that's going on?
We're doing very well right now. Both my wife and my middle son are working a ton, so it makes my life pretty easy to manage. I'm in charge of work, dogs, and dinner. And I'm taking care of all those things. But we're all healthy and glad that we so far don't know anybody who's been impacted with sickness right now. And we just keep praying for everybody's health around us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Clarks are doing well. We have had a couple of sick kids this week. We actually had one tested for COVID-19, but that came back negative, which was really good. Strep as another child. And so we're dealing with that. But, you know, when you have a house full of children, it's every day is a new adventure. But we're doing well. We've taken this opportunity to do a little cleaning around the house, which is always fun, cleaning out the basement areas. But, you know, the Clarks are doing well. And I've said it before, but I get to come to the office every day because I'm the only one here. So it's cleaner and safer for me to be here than anywhere else. So, glad you guys are doing well. I will say, though, I got an email this week from Pastor Stephen, who told me that he actually has a couple people in his church, at a live church, that have tested positive. So we need to be in prayer for Pastor Stephen and a live church as they are dealing with this and their own. And they're a partner of ours. So we don't want to forget our ministry partners during this time. You know, as we started down this path with COVID-19, you know, several weeks ago, we began this new series that we're in where we're basically going to the Gospels. We're looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. And we've created this series that we've just called Questioning Jesus. We're looking at how the questions to, by, and around Jesus can help shape our faith. And today, as you can see, we're doing something new. So this is going to be much more of a conversation. In fact, before I hit record, Pastor Ryan said this could be a disaster. We'll see. But it's going to be fun regardless. But today we're going to jump into a topic that some of you may look at and go, well, why would you do that? But we're going to look at the topic of Sabbath and rest. And as we've talked about this, Ryan, you know, we talked about how it's just a season right now where everybody's kind of been forced to stop doing kind of what they were normally doing. Life is, it just looks different for everybody.
Yeah, as several memes have gone out on the internet, this is the first time we're like just laying on the couch and watching TV is how we can help heal our nation.
That's right. That's our job.
And yet we struggle with it so much.
We do struggle with it. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about it. And just, I want to define the word a little bit because we talk about the word Sabbath, and you may get into this a little bit more later, but you know, the word Sabbath just simply means to cease, to completely stop what we're doing. And so right now, many of us have been forced to cease or to stop from our jobs or going to work every day or just our kids' education. So we're in a season of Sabbath. But the question we have to ask is, you know, even though it's forced, are we doing it well? Or is it something that we're benefiting from, or is it something that we're resisting? And so that's kind of what we want to dig into today. We wanted to begin today with a poll. And so get your fingers ready and respond in our chat window over here. And this is just numbers, so there's no letters. It's on a scale of 1 to 10. We want to know, with 1 being completely restless and 10 being completely at rest, how rested are you right now? How rested are you? Scale of 1 to 10. 1, not rested at all. 10, very rested. Go. Let's see those numbers start popping up on the screen. Ryan, if you had to answer that, what would you say?
Yeah, as we were talking about that, I think the first couple weeks of this, it was definitely below a 5. Well, there's less to do. It's trying to find that rhythm. It's hard. We've been doing this for several weeks now. My rest level has been climbing as I found a rhythm outside of the normal rhythm of life. I'll give myself a 6.
Yeah, very nice.
What about you?
Oh, putting a number on a scale, I'd probably say I'm a 3 or maybe a 4.
So
it is getting better
than before.
Yeah, it's better than before. When this all went down, you know, there was a lot of scrambling behind the scenes that I felt like I was doing to just try to make sure we continued to touch base with people and make sure that we were not just connecting with people, but helping people through the crisis and grow in faith. And I feel like, unfortunately, we've settled into a new rhythm of what this looks like. And that, but honestly, rhythm is good because through that rhythm, it does mean we get some more rest. So you guys can kind of see where everybody else has posted in the chat window to see where they're rested and, you know, use this as an opportunity to hold one another accountable, especially for those that were under five. You know, you can kind of lean into those people and start checking in on them because they probably need it.
Thanks for giving me that permission, Ben.
That's right. That's right. No, I didn't mean, oh, wait, I'm in a six. I'm a six. Wait. But, you know, when we begin to look at Jesus, the life of Jesus, and the questions that he was asked, this was actually something that he encountered multiple times in his ministry, a story or several stories that we find repeated in some fashion in all four Gospels. Ryan, why don't you share some of those with us this morning?
So when we were looking at which passages we wanted to look at from Jesus that where he talks about the Sabbath, there are a lot of these stories in here, and the same two stories are in the first three Gospels, the Synoptics of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But those two stories, which we're going to talk about today, aren't the only two. We also see in Luke 13 where Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath, who she couldn't stand up straight. Then in John chapter 5, Jesus heals a paralyzed man who's lame at the pool of Bethesda. In John 9, he heals a blind man. There's lots of stories, and the issue that is happening in all these stories is that there are the religious leaders, the Pharisees and others who are like, we must hold to the law perfectly. We must follow the Sabbath completely according to the law of Moses, which means absolutely no work, taking a cease from work to rest on the last day of the week. So for them, it would have been Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, absolutely no work. And in the Old Testament, they took this really seriously. They stoned a guy for collecting sticks. So it's on that foundation where these Jewish leaders are trying to follow this principle of rest that God created at creation.
Yeah. And so that's what, you know, Ryan, as you were talking about that, it reminded me years ago, I did preach a sermon on Sabbath, and there were several things in that sermon I talked about, like, you know, the rules were, they were so strict about this that it was like, you could take 1,999 steps, but if you took that 2,000th step, it was considered work and you broke the Sabbath. Another one was crazy. Like, women couldn't wear jewelry on the Sabbath because it had weight to it. And that was carrying a load.
Right.
That was work. And you couldn't bathe because if the water fell off you onto the floor, it was washing the floor. And guess what washing the floor is?
Work.
Work.
And as I was reading about the Sabbath, this is what I uncovered. Like, at the beginning, the Sabbath was truly meant for people to find rest and to find connection with God. Rest from your work and connect with God. But in time, as humans tend to do, we take a good thing from God and we make it into a bad thing. And they added all these crazy rules, this minutia like you just described. And they took what was meant to be a blessing and the religious leaders turned it into a burden on the people. And so that's really where this story is taking us, is where Jesus is trying to smash what the religious leaders have created. And so we can look at this story in Luke chapter 6, and it's also found in Mark chapter 3. But what happens here is, first we're told this story where Jesus is walking with his disciples, and they're just going through the field, and they're hungry. And they simply pick the top of the pieces of grain, and they just break it apart to feed themselves. And that's it. And the religious leaders have a total problem with this. Like, Jesus, how can you and your disciples be doing work on the Sabbath? And it's in that point that Jesus says, hey, look, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And then in Mark chapter 3, it immediately comes around and tells us another story. And at this point, the religious leaders are already upset with Jesus. They feel like, hey, he's breaking our rules. We can't let this happen. Yeah. And Jesus comes to a man who's got a disfigured hand in the synagogue on the day of Sabbath. He's doing what he's supposed to, going to the synagogue on Sabbath. but he knows what they're thinking is what the Bible tells us. Mm-hmm. And so he has this man, he says, come here and stand up in front of everyone.
He's like Brent. He likes a presentation or a show.
He knows right where they're at. And in Mark 3, verse 4, it says, then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And it says that they all remained silent because they didn't, like, how are we supposed to answer this? And so it says, Jesus looked around and in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. And what I find so fascinating about this story is this statement in the question, what's lawful, to do good or to do evil? And in the Pharisees' hearts, doing good means doing nothing. Leaving this man be, not doing any work, no healings, no miracles. And Jesus is saying, no, look, the Sabbath is for rest and restoration.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, he's bringing restoration into this man's life on the Sabbath. He's bringing life. They're bringing rules and legalism. And he's saying, that's not what it means to follow God.
Yeah, and the challenge here is that as you read these stories about what Jesus was saying and the challenge of the religious leaders, it would be easy for people to take away and go, oh, well, Jesus did away with the Sabbath then because he's like, oh, no, it's okay to work. It's okay to do this. But really, we have to be really careful because that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Right. He's like what you're saying. He says he's taking it from this legalistic, you know, rigid rule. And he's saying, no, there is life in the Sabbath, but we're not going to be controlled by the Sabbath. We're going to, you know, we're going to lean into the Sabbath when we can.
Right. And Jesus shows us other places where if Sabbath is about finding rest, he's a man who knows how to go find rest when he needs it. And that doesn't necessarily have to be between the hours of sundown Friday and sundown on Saturday. He's a guy that we see regularly in the New Testament, in those Gospels, where he goes away to pray by himself. When he needs to recharge his batteries, he knows that about himself, and he finds the time to make that happen. And it, in my mind, that's where we see him showing the Sabbath principle without necessarily following the Sabbath legalism that was so common back then, but it's even common in our churches today.
I think it's just human nature, though, right? Because we want the list of do's and don'ts. We want, it's much easier in faith if we say, okay, I need to go to church. I need to not do work on this day at this time. But as we were talking about kind of like finding that rhythm earlier, you know, that's really what we're talking about here is that in our lives, we have to be self-aware enough that we understand where we're at right now. And if we are burning the candle at both ends, if our spouse thinks we're burning the candle at both ends, if some others look at us and go, we're worried about you, you know, we need to be willing to respond and go, okay, I need to bring Sabbath in. And I do think it's probably a good rhythm to bring Sabbath into our lives on a regular, recurring basis. Weekly is probably good, but where that happens in the week, it's really more flexible than even saying it should happen on Sunday. Because to be fair, until COVID-19 hit, and even now, we don't get Sunday to rest. I mean, that's work day for us. And so you and I've talked before that, you know, for me, my Sabbath is more like the Jewish Sabbath, sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday night, because that's when I try to get away from the cell phone and take more time for me and my family. But, you know, what we find in our culture today is that even though this Sabbath is encouraged and people, we know that it should happen, we are finding, I think, right now that people are really fighting against it. Have you seen that, Ryan, where people are kind of pushing back?
Absolutely. Well, and it's not that people want to actively fight against it. It's that what it's doing is it's exposing our inward drive that's been going for so many years, what we thought was just normal, of achieve, do more, finish something. I've got time to sit down. That must mean I've got time to go do something. And so we're always going, going, going. And in this time that's a forced breath, slowing down, people don't know what to do with that time. Right. and they're almost fighting against the free time that we have in trying to fill it up, because we as Americans especially don't know what it means to cease from activity, to rest and breathe and connect with God.
You know, one author I was reading this week actually called it the blessedness of unproductivity, that we don't believe in that. And I thought, man, that's a great description, because we honestly, if we are unproductive, we feel like something's wrong. And we'll even say something like this. If somebody says, oh, well, what did you do today? And we're like, well, I didn't do anything. I feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Why? Why do we feel guilty about it when really it is part of the rhythm that God created? I mean, you know, you mentioned that, and what Jesus is attesting to is back to the creation story in Genesis chapter 2, where it says on the seventh day, God rested. And we miss that by just continuing to move and push and go forward. And you know, even as we think about American culture, right now we're in such a weird spot because there's not a million things for us to go do. Our kids don't have a million activities for us to go drop them off and watch sporting events and all this. And what do you do in a culture when up till this point, busyness has been a badge of honor? It's like, man, if you talk to somebody and they say, how are you? Whoo, busy. And people are proud of that. But we're in this moment now where you're going, no, it's, you're not busy. You shouldn't be busy. You actually have all this time. And so the question is, what are you doing with this time?
Right. And I'll be honest, the first couple of weeks that we had this forced Sabbath actually knocked me out of my regular Bible reading plan, because I didn't have my rhythm. I didn't have my routine. Yeah. And I was managing to fill my time with nothing, with just reading more statistics. How many more people have COVID-19 today? Yay. Like, at a point, you have to stop reading that news.
Yeah.
And you have to say, you know, God, I'm going to make time for you.
Yeah.
I want to connect with you. And so we have to figure out how to find that Sabbath in our own lives without making it a legalistic thing. And that's the other problem we fight against. We're talking about fighting against Sabbath in that we're achievers, work, work, work. Yeah. But the other struggle against Sabbath is that we tip it to where the Pharisees were in making it the legalism.
Yeah.
You know what, Brent? Sunday is a day you can't do anything.
That's right.
That has to be your day off. Yeah. And if I can't get that, then I just feel guilty because I didn't do what I'm supposed to be doing. And so then you just give up and you're like, oh, sinner am I.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got to find, we do have to stop fighting against it. We need to find that being unproductive is okay. Not every day, but there are moments in our lives. You know, when you were talking about this week, I think back to my sabbatical summer in 2018. I think I came back and I told you, it actually took me about 2 weeks to unwind enough to completely get to a place where I felt rested. And that was a real trigger for me, because I thought, why did it take me so long to stop thinking about church, stop thinking about ministry, stop thinking about all these things? And I think it shows even within me that there's a little bit of a pushback. I'm an achiever, I'm a pusher, producer, creator. And so when you have that drive, it is very challenging. So I think the question we have to move to is, you know, what do we do? How do we find Sabbath? What do we do in order to make this a part of our regular rhythm? And, you know, as I was thinking about this message, I came across a quote this week and I wrote it down because I thought, man, this is so good. It's from Rabbi Elijah of Vilna. And he actually made the statement, I think it was in the 1700 timeframe. He said, God stopped to show us that what we create becomes meaningful only once we stop creating it and start to think about why it was worth creating in the first place. And I thought, man, that is a powerful quote, because when you're like me, it's what's next, what's next, what's next? Are we finding that time to sit down and just do like God did with creation, to exhale, to breathe in that moment and go, it's good. This is very good. So what are some things that you think, Ryan, that would help us to be able to find rest in our lives?
Well, so when I think of finding rest, we have to understand that not all of us are in the same boat.
Oh, absolutely.
We have people watching this who are busy parents with lots of kids, who are home all the time now. Yeah. And we have retired folks, empty nesters. We have single folks who are right now probably feeling a little bit lonely sitting at home with nobody else to share their time with. So I understand it's going to look different for different people in different situations. For me and my family, finding rest means almost on a daily basis, finding even that small amount of time to connect with God. Because if I don't force myself to do that, what happens is I'll realize, wow, I've gone 3 or 4 days and I haven't thought about what God's doing in this whole thing. I haven't prayed for people like I said I was going to be praying for them. And so it's finding that rhythm in what works in my schedule. For some of you, that time might be after the kids have gone to bed when you lay your head on the pillow. Amen. And it's just a minute before you fall asleep and that's all you've got. But that can be time with God. It doesn't have to be.
The challenge is this. This is another way I think we push back, because I know even personally, when my kids get to bed and I'm exhausted, you know what I want to do? I want to flip on the television. Let's put on whatever Netflix. To be fair, I feel like I'm at the end of Netflix. But anyway, but you still find yourself fighting against the rest by filling up the space instead of filling it with time of just conversation with God. And I think, let me qualify this, because you said prayer and I know what you meant, but you know, sometimes when people think about prayer, they think about this very formal time where it's, let me sit in a certain space and bow my head and fold my hands. And it's like, no, you know, sometimes my best prayer time happens right before I'm going to sleep or right before I wake up, when my mind is fresh and I've kind of closed out the day or coming into a new day. And it's just that conversation with God where it's like, God, these are the things I'm thinking about. Speak to me now in this moment. And my eyes aren't closed and my hands aren't folded. You know, I'm not on my knees. You know, I'm actually laying in bed or in the shower even, you know. Parents, shower time can be a great time for rest and relaxation, because hopefully the kids aren't in there with you.
Right. It gives you the quiet time to focus your mind on something that's not the millions of little things all around you that you've got to be responsible for.
But you know, Ryan, as we're talking about rest, you know, one of the things I think about too is that people need to understand is that this does take practice. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but we have so trained ourselves into an existence of restlessness that it takes time for us to relearn how to rest. And I think the challenge is that when we first begin to rest, when we take that moment that you were talking about, or maybe if you're married and you do have kids, you and your spouse work out something where one of you will take the kids, watch the kids, move the kids in another part of the house while somebody else can get some alone time. In that moment, you go in and, you know, say the first time you do this, you fall asleep. Well, then it's like, well, that didn't work. No, you know, we have to realize it takes practice and it's not going to come naturally, because we've so trained ourselves in restlessness that actually finding that rest may take a little time for us to get there.
And to be fair, if you do fall asleep, the reason God gave us Sabbath was to
rest. Absolutely.
It was meant to be a gift for us. And what's challenging is that we completely miss the gift and we're like, well, God, we're doing this out of obedience. And he's like, no, I didn't give it to you to prove that you can be obedient. I gave it to you because I want you to have the blessing. Your body can't go nonstop and be successful. You need this. And so if you fall asleep, I'll say, you know what? That is the best use of Sabbath. Perhaps
Absolutely.
That's what you need in that moment more than anything else. And that is God's grace to you.
Good Christians always, we love to quote that passage. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No, you can't. You can't jump over a building. You can't fly. There's a lot of things you can't do. And sometimes you need to, we need, what Sabbath does is it's an excellent reminder of our humanity, that we can't go 90 miles an hour, that there is a limit. We are mortal humans and we have to lean into rest. And you know, one of the things for many of our people that may be struggling with, especially those that are working from home, is that, you know, we were talking this week about, you know, when you can go to the office and you have an 8-to-5 job, you know, that sets a healthy boundary in our lives. And so when 5 o'clock hits, you're able to set most of the time, walk away, and you can get that rest time away from work. But what do you do when the office becomes your dining room table or your kitchen table or your couch or whatever? I think it's healthy for us to recognize that sometimes in order to rest, it means putting in place some boundaries that we might need in order to protect and guard. And again, we're not saying be legalistic or ritualistic about it, but find what helps you create that space that you need to be able to breathe.
So Brent, when you find rest, like what does it look like for you when you create that space? I know for me, often it means I go to a room by myself, close the door, turn on music, worship songs that I love. And sometimes I sit for a long time before I ever pray or read the Bible or do anything. What's it look like for you?
I'm at a real advantage, to be honest. I do get to come to the office. I'm the only one here. And just simply because if we were trying to record this at my house, we would have to start and stop about 15 times because all the noise in the background with my kids. So it's helpful that I'm able to get here. Typically, it begins with reading. I love to read. For me, I need the structure of a reading plan, just like you do. And so I'll follow a reading plan in the Bible, and then I'll have one or two books that I might read. I might listen to music. I might not. And then I'll try to spend some time just in prayer. But even in that prayer time, what I'll try to do is just find a time. It may not be long. It may just be 5 minutes or less, but just to create a space that just says, okay, God, I need you to speak to me now. If there's something I need to hear, if there's something I need to know, I'm open to you, God. But you know, one of the things I will share that's been helpful to me lately has been speaking out loud, verbally, praying out loud, not just in my mind, but actually verbalizing out loud the prayers. I found that to be very helpful in that resting rhythm that I need.
And tied to that, praying out loud, one of the activities that we are making available to all of you is as we go into this quarantine challenge, we're talking about journaling. And journaling is a practice that maybe some of you either love it or you hate it.
I've tried to journal multiple times, but I'm going to do it this time.
It's a spiritual discipline. Let's call it that for some of us.
Yeah.
But it does offer the same benefit of praying a prayer out loud when you're able to write on the page that prayer that you have for God, those thoughts that are on your mind that you can't seem to shake, that sometimes God allows that even as you write it on the page that you can leave it there. And it's in that act of journaling that you're able to find a bit of rest and slowing down. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't signed up for that quarantine challenge yet, you can go to our homepage at the church, and there's a button right on the homepage you can't miss to sign up for the quarantine challenge. Yeah. Get a daily email or a daily text message sent right to you with a devotional thought that you can chew on for a little bit, and then you can sit and you can write whatever God lays on your heart. We're trying to help all of us as we go through this strange time, find a new healthy way that we can connect with God.
And for us to do it together. I think there's something powerful about all of us going through this together as a community. So I know that we're coming close to the end of our time here, Ryan. And so, you know, I just want people to close with a few questions for our people to process. You know, the question first off is, how do you find rest now? You know, how do you find that Sabbath moment now with toddlers underfoot or screaming kids? Or maybe you're retired and you're like, I have plenty of time. Maybe rest is helping others find rest, you know, an encouraging note or phone call to help somebody. And then not only that, but are you beginning to make a plan for when this is over? It will end eventually. God only knows when, but it will end. And what are you going to do? I'm convinced that this is an incredible opportunity that we've been given to kind of do a reset on our lives. And it's going to be a real shame if at the end of this thing, everything just picks back up the way it was before we stopped. This is an opportunity for us to reset and create margin in our lives. So I would say, what are you going to do later? What are you going to do when it returns to normal? And you know, one of the verses I love, and you hear it a lot of times in church, it's just, you know, Psalm 46:10, which says, be still and know that I am God. You know, in those moments, we have to realize that the Sabbath, we are made for Sabbath. Sabbath was made for us, rather, that we would be able to connect with God and be refreshed and have space to breathe and be renewed. And in those moments, be strengthened and become what God wants us to be. And realize that in the rest, in the unproductivity of our lives, that may be where something greater can happen in you than could ever happen if you're just constantly going, going, going. And like that quote I read earlier, take time, not just to produce and achieve, but take time to sit back and think, why was it important to do that anyway? And allow the Spirit of God to speak to you now in this moment of quarantine and isolation to figure out how God loves you and who you are in Christ and just how the Spirit of God can move and motivate and speak to us in incredibly powerful ways. So let me close us out with a prayer. God, thanks so much for this conversation today. And even in this moment where it may seem strange to even talk about rest because life is still so upside down, God, I pray that everybody who's heard this message today doesn't feel guilty. In fact, God, I pray that today we have removed the guilt and we understand that everybody's in different seasons, but God, you desire for us to find a minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whenever we can, to just take a breath and breathe in your presence in our lives and realize that God, you've created us, you've called us, you've equipped us, you've made us for something greater than just is in this moment now. And so it's in these moments of rest, God, that we can find you and find refreshment and find peace and hope and joy. And so, God, I pray that all of us are able in the coming week through the quarantine challenge and through other ways, God, that we're able to find rest in you this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us online today and connecting with us in this way. You know, our worship team is going to come and lead us in one closing song. Before you log off or go about the rest of your day, allow this final song to be an opportunity for you to really reflect and think about maybe what God has been saying to you through this message today. You know, you can even use this as a time to even begin journaling about maybe what God has said to you or changes or things you would like to see happen this week in your own life. Don't forget that we've got our Spring into Action also, that if you go to our website, ashworth.church, where you can see ways that we can connect with our community even right now, and also sign up for that quarantined experience where we all together join and together to learn and grow, even as we have to be physically apart. Thanks again for being with us today.